you know, we have a lot of expressions in the English language that we use all the time. Most all of us use them every day, and we never seem to examine them.
Hey, we're recording the podcast. Shut up.
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is Morning Somewhere for April 17th, 2024. My name is Bertie Burns, sitting right over there. Number one vendor of sex on a stick. Ashley Burns, how you doing?
Get you sexy.
Did you ever figure out what the hell that was?
I have a theory. And my theory is, so sex on a stick is an idiom, and sex on wheels is an idiom. I think I smooshed them together.
Wait. The first one was what you said.
No, I said sex on sticks.
So I did, from the context of it, I did think you meant like on a stick. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, it's like a popsicle. Like, it's something on a stick.
I figured it was old timey. Like, look at those sticks, talking about girls' legs, you know? We're like, you know, like that's a, you know, just like a sexy girl walking around. I don't know.
Well, you're the one who said it. You put it out there in everyone's brain.
I know. I take full responsibility.
Can't even remember what else we were talking about. Hey, everybody. Happy Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. If you're not familiar with the week, Wednesday's the middle one.
All downhill from here.
We're going to go on the road today. So Ashley and I are recording even earlier than we normally do.
So apologies for both our brains.
We're like an actual morning show today, Ashley. We're heading on the road. We're going to go grab Ashley's dad, and he's going to be with us for how long?
6 weeks.
He's
come to visit, spent some time with the grandkids.
We're gonna have a full house here soon, man.
Paint some sheds. He can't help himself. Every time he visits, he paints a shed.
I should have waited.
Sometimes the same shed.
I was running some network cable through the attic, and JD got off the train because he's with us for the summer now. Done with university, and we were pulling cable through the attic like 5 minutes after he showed up here.
You didn't even make it in the house.
Welcome home, kid.
Get up that ladder.
Yeah, he was like itching from the insulation and everything else afterwards. You can tell from the tone of my voice, I feel so terrible about that.
So terrible.
We were talking about DIY projects yesterday. Somebody in the subreddit posted a hilarious clip from Malcolm in the Middle, where the dad is going to work on something, but when he opens the drawer to get the screwdriver out to work on it, the drawer squeaks, so then he gets some oil, but then the light's out in there. Like, it's an ever-cascading list of DIY projects.
He leads him, like, down the nest, and so in the end, isn't he, like, working on the car? And she's like, I thought you were going to, like, you know, fix the sink, and he's like, I'm working on it.
I don't remember how the clip ends. I think he's, like, in
something
New,
completely
New Mexico selling meth or something like that. I forget how the clip ends. What a bizarre, like, career he's had, man.
He's got great range.
I actually worked on a movie with him.
Did you?
Yeah, we were in that. I say I worked on the movie. I did all of 2 days on it. Remember the Why Him?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You were in a party scene.
Yeah. And I think it was there was a point in time when they were kind of just casting influencers to have like little roles in films because they were like, why not? And then they'll tell their audience about it and people will go see it. But he was great. He was really great. He was really nice, really kind. It was a big party scene, so there were lots of extras, and he was great with everybody, which is kind of interesting and newsworthy because Sylvester Stallone right now is dealing with some kind of issue with his streaming series where he has been mean to the extras.
Yes, or if not mean directly to the extras, said mean things about the extras where they could hear.
Yes.
And I believe he was specifically criticizing casting. He was like, this is not the demographic for this bar.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to be like, you know, like young and hip. Like, what's that guy doing there? That kind of thing. But he was calling them mean names, which, you know, doesn't seem all that off brand, honestly, for Sylvester Stallone, but is still something that the one now calls out. And so that's been real trouble. But everything I've heard about Bryan Cranston is just that he is an absolute gem of
super nice, just super nice. And he was really nice to everybody. And like, there were even, like, you know, people trying, because it's a young group of people at the party and things like that, so people were like trying things as he like stormed out of the room, and he was really gracious about it. You know, there's a lot of people, if like you interrupt the scene or like
you get off interrupt book. Their process.
Exactly. They get upset about it. But I just realized too, because I said extras, but that I guess that term has been deprecated.
Well, now it's people now would background say actors.
Background, right?
Yeah.
I guess extra sounds like frivolous, but so does background a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Don't worry, we'll all be AI soon anyway.
We will all be AI soon anyway.
They can call it whatever they want.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. The big last fight, background actors kind of took a leading role in the strike for SAG last time because there was all this discussion about the AI concessions that SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, made.
Well, because one of the big things, right, was they wanted to be able to scan people and then basically put them in any movie in any capacity till like the end of time.
They would basically get one day of work for a whole career. Be like, once they did one day of work, the studios then own their likeness and could just scan them and use them again and again and again in the background.
Yeah. So I think the studio was doing God's work, as they say, in fighting for the background actors and their rights.
You said the studio. You mean the union?
Oh, sorry, the union.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not the studio.
Like, okay. No, wild take over there.
No, the union was fighting for them. And in the reality of things, it does suck that now the studios are just going to be like, okay, well, we'll just generate a person that doesn't exist at all.
Yeah, you're right. They'll just create some kind of artificial person based on an amalgamation of every other person who's walked in front of a camera lens.
So if I sign over my likeness for this one day of work, I go
how
ahead
much
and
you
say,
want?
Studio doing God's work. scan me up, daddy. And one of my background iterations puts in a particularly stunning turn and I win the Academy Award for Best Background Actor. Do I win the award?
It's a good question. I think we've talked about this AI before, but one of the, I think, most wild cases in the last few years for IP and copyright law was the monkey that took a selfie of itself, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a non-human, right, that took a photograph, grabbed a photographer's camera, took a photo of itself. And the way this case went down was the photographer said that, I believe he owned the rights to the image, but the argument, I think PETA made the argument that the monkey took the photo, so technically the monkey owns the photo and the rights to exploit the photo.
Right, but then it was determined, I think in this court case, that copyright is a human thing, and copyright
that's the judgment,
is
right?
That only, so that the photographer got the copyright because the monkey, being non-human, couldn't have a copyright.
And that's going to be something that people will be using in court cases, I think, for a very, very long time. And I think the further we go along, the more important that's going to become.
Yeah. And
which is kind of interesting because a monkey, depending on what you believe, a monkey is a step back from us in evolution, right? And so this is going to be a court case that then affects the evolving human consciousness or intelligence and what's going to come after us.
Well, this is interesting right now as well because Boston Dynamics just shut down, or they announced that they're shutting down Atlas. That's the humanoid robot. There's all the videos of that robot navigating environments and often getting like knocked down and poked with sticks. And everyone's like, hey, take it easy on the robot. But it was the equivalent of the robot learning, right, how to navigate the world, how to not get knocked down by the stick and everything. But they've announced that they are retiring their humanoid robot Atlas. They didn't specify, but it makes it sound like they've got another humanoid robot on the way.
The range of emotions I go through watching, they put out a compilation of Atlas and its various achievements over the years. The range of emotions that I go through watching this thing of like, when it's trying to catch its balance and it's like doing these little tippy toe steps and you're like, oh, look at that, a robot that can stand up on its own. That's great. Then it starts doing backflips, running upstairs, tossing like 20-pound boxes up about 20 feet.
You know what's going to be really unfair is when it gets to do the superhero landing and we can't because, you know, that's actually really bad for your knees.
You know, it's those moments of brilliance that you see every now and then. You're like, first you're like, oh, okay, cool. They've got a robot that can walk. And then you're like, what the fuck am I watching? Did you ever see, it was about 2 years ago now, where Disney just put out this thing from their Imagineers that uses a robotic stunt person, and it's a superhero, essentially, what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you watch it, you're like, yikes.
Is it because it's bad or because it's good?
No, it's because you realize, like, every stunt person ever is going to be out of a job. Like, even the ones that aren't replaced by CG are going to be replaced by a physical robot.
I see.
Because it's doing this incredible thing that we'll put a link in the link dump to it. And the example they use in this video is the evolution of it from basically just looks like a stick to a human. I haven't seen it in a long time, but here, I'll send it to you. I looked it up. You can watch it while I'm talking about this monkey that took a selfie of itself. So this is from the Wikipedia entry. Between 2011 and 2018, series of disputes took place about the copyright status of selfies taken by Celebes Crested Macaque. Using equipment.
Good job, macaque. We believe in you.
That's an unsolicited macaque pic. using equipment belonging to the British wildlife photographer David Slater. Over Slater's objections that he holds the copyright, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, who have argued that the copyright should be assigned to the macaque.
Right.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And it's one of those things that's going to be a highly influential court case as we go forward, I yes. think.
So this video is wild.
You got it there?
Yeah. So it's this Disney Imagineering. We'll put it in the link dump as well. But yeah, it goes from basically a stick.
It's that range of emotions.
Yeah, it's wild. A stick. And then you see a robot swinging, ha, 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 very funny. And like landing on its back as, you know, doing the stunt landing. And then he swings into the air and does this, like, superhero pose. He can hold it, and he can probably hold it a lot longer than people can before they have to get into position for the net landing.
And it's
crazy.
And it's weird because you see people like working very hard to quickly develop this technology of having a robotic stunt person. I think they call it an acrobat, right?
Acrobatic robot.
And you have to realize at the same time,
stunttronics technology.
You're like racing. It's like Indiana Jones racing for that closing door, because why not just do that CG period? But what's compelling about this is where we are currently in technology and visual fidelity is that when you watch this actual physical thing pulling off these human moves, it feels very real, but
it's
better
visceral
than real. Right. Yeah. Because it still feels like live action. But eventually that line between that and CG will completely blur, and it won't be as valuable to have this thing, because why wouldn't then you just do it digitally instead of making a physical robot?
Well, one of those things could potentially be the aging of effects. A lot of times practical effects age a bit better, because as CG improves and improves and improves, although maybe it'll get like video games where they'll plateau after a while, where you're like, yeah, it looks better.
Yeah.
But, you know. There's a line.
Did you watch the compilation of Atlas?
I did. And it's always like, oh, don't. And yet, Atlas, you can't deny that the progress that robot made is astounding.
Sylvester Stallone said it was too fat. Too old. They had to retire it. So thank you, Atlas, for your service. We greatly appreciate you.
Also in news. So Live Nation and Ticketmaster merged in like 2010. And it's been a nightmare for anyone who likes going to see live music at a large venue, which is, you know, like all the big pop stars and everything, ever since. It's been a pain in the ass. But I have great news. The Swifties have gone to work.
Have they?
The Department of Justice is getting ready to sue Live Nation, the owner of the two combined companies, for antitrust violations.
Listen, you say Live Nation and Ticketmaster combining made it bad. When was the last time buying a ticket to a live event was a good experience?
Yeah,
It's been probably 3 decades.
Yeah, I can't actually necessarily think of one. I can think of ones that I was excited for. But it seems like the last few years in particular, I have not been going to live music events, but from what I understand, it's virtually impossible to actually get a ticket because Live Nation has done fuck all to protect against scalping operations.
When I read about this lawsuit, I was thinking about that meme with the two like muscular arms coming together.
Yeah,
you know, it's that meme of like two opposing parties agreeing on something. For this, you would need an octopus for the number of people who are going to be overjoyed that the Department of Justice is suing Ticketmaster.
Yeah, they're saying that they're doing anti-competitive practices. Check.
Yeah.
And also that their vertical business model, in that they also do talent management, they also own the concessions for their venues, that all of that is anti-competitive. But one of the big things is they have exclusive deals with these venues, right? So if you want to see a star like at the Taylor Swift level who needs a large venue, guess what? That venue has exclusivity and you have to deal with them. That is it.
Yeah.
So that is where they're saying that they're like, that's, you can't do that. And Live Nation is like, well, little old Mina.
I don't know a single person who's like, oh, the government picking on poor Ticketmaster. It's all like, get them. Yeah, just like, get them. Knock them down. Like, break them up.
Go.
But what's a better system, though? Because it is like you're saying, Ticketmaster is a huge problem. But then another huge problem is just all the people who are like, can run small time Ticketmasters, essentially. And just buy up all the tickets in 2 seconds. I mean, should there be no secondary market for these things? It should only be, you can only buy the first party and that's it?
Well, that's what a lot of people are arguing. And given that most people buy them just to resell them, that does seem fairly unethical to a degree.
Yeah.
You know, that's like people in the pandemic just buying a bunch of toilet paper.
Yeah.
And who was sad when they couldn't sell all that toilet paper? Who?
But there's people in the world that would make the argument of like, look, I don't want to get up at like 6 a.m. I don't want to sit there and hit F5 all the time. I will pay a premium for somebody else to do that. And I'll just buy the seats I want and I'll pay the markup on it. And I'm okay with it. And I think a lot of, have you ever bought a secondhand ticket like in the secondary market?
Never.
I have for sporting events. I've done that. But usually that's season ticket holders like selling their seat to a game.
That's different.
Is it though? I mean, it's like, it's the drop that doesn't cause the flood.
I guess so.
That was a great segue in that segment. There's a middle ground somewhere that's the Department of Justice and the court's duty to try to find what that is.
Well, I hope that they do, because I think that there is dramatic room for improvement in the music ticketing industry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be taking the side of Ticketmaster.
Whatever, big ticket. I see.
Oh,
you.
Man. Ticketmaster's killing it. What did you say about the studios?
Doing God's work.
Ticketmaster's doing
God's work.
God's work. All right. Since we were talking about the drops that start the flood, it's crazy the images coming out of the UAE from just this flood that is taking place. They got a year's worth of rain in a day. And there's lots of theories as to why this is. Climate change, but then also we were talking about during the eclipse, we were talking about cloud seeding, and they've been doing that in Dubai.
Yeah, so that's been potentially blamed. I guess Dubai has been doing cloud seeding to solve their rain issue since like 2002. And so that's being, you know, I think it'll probably be a while before they know exactly why they got a year's worth of rain in a day. But it is insane. There's videos of planes like with water all the way up onto the fuselage.
Watching planes drive through floodwaters was that's an image I've never seen before. I've never seen that. I don't know why they were still moving those planes. Maybe they're trying to get them to higher ground. I don't know if that exists there. But
it's going for takeoff. It was just,
fuck that. Can you imagine?
It's just going to pop out its little skids, you know, like those boat planes.
Little seaplane?
Yeah, seaplane and just go. Bzzz.
I'm going to read you an article from AP News. This is by John Gambrell. Stop me when I get to something that doesn't sound right. Heavy thunderstorms lashed the United Arab Emirates on Tuesday, dumping the heaviest rain ever recorded in the country in the span of hours as it flooded out portions of major highways and Dubai's international airport. The rains began late Monday, soaking the sands and roadways of Dubai with some 0.79 inches of rain, according to meteorological data collected at Dubai International Airport. 0.79 inches all that flooding?
Well, if you think about
That's what stood out to me was all these images for less than an inch of rain.
Well, think about this though. It's 4/5 an inch of rain, but everywhere.
And I'm going to guess that a place like Dubai doesn't have a lot of built-in drainage. Like they're not used to any amount of rain whatsoever. But I think if most places got 0.79 inches of rain in a day, it would not be global news. Like, for instance, I looked up record rainfall in our former town of Austin, Texas. In 2007, Austin, Texas got 3.66 inches of rain in a day.
Okay, no, that is more. Yeah. That is more. But Austin gets rain and has drain. Like, Austin, I hadn't seen this previously. Although then I noticed it other places, but when I moved to Austin, I noticed there were a lot of areas on properties that were just, they were just drainage pools. Just areas for water to go.
Last time we had a flood of this magnitude in Austin, Texas, I'm using Austin because I know the history of the weather there. was 2015. Remember that flood?
I do remember that flood.
Really well. In a day, Austin got 5.2 inches of rain.
That was one day?
5.2 inches of rain. That's what I'm saying. It's like, and this was, according to that AP News article, 0.79 inches was record rainfall historically for Dubai. That's pretty wild to me. It just goes to show, not everywhere is built the same. So if you have even under an inch of rain, it can absolutely paralyze this place. You know, much like if you get like an eighth of an inch of snow in Austin, shut it down. Shut it down. Shut down everything. Shut it down now.
No one's going anywhere.
No, no one's going anywhere.
And I remember when there was the first big Austin freeze, people were like, why don't you just, you know, get out the snowplows? Because Austin doesn't have snowplows because it doesn't snow.
No. Would you like barbecue? we've got that.
Similarly, Dubai doesn't have drainage because it doesn't rain.
Before we wrap up here, I want to say thank you to everyone who has supported our Patreon, patreon.com/morningsomewhere.
And I'd like to say thank you in particular to today's sponsors, Jason Vrapchanak, who has asked us kindly to promote Red versus Blue Restoration coming out.
Oh, that's nice of
May him. 7th. Yeah, that's really sweet, I thought. And Jonathan Stanger, thank you both for keeping this podcast ad-free for all of our listeners.
I get to promote Red versus Blue Restoration?
Yeah, go for it.
Hi, are you sad about life? We all are. Robots are taking our stunt people's job. Ask your doctor about Red versus Blue Restoration. Red versus Blue Restoration. Not a member of FDIC, not financial advice. All right, well, that does it for us today. April 17th, 2024. We will be back to talk to you tomorrow. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.